It's August 19th, 2011, and this is my interview with Ray Severson in Fargo, North Dakota. Mr. Severson, can you first of all tell me what year and date you were born?
March 31st, 1922.
And can you tell me where you were born and a little bit about your life growing up?
Right here in Fargo.
In Fargo?
Yeah, it's on 10th Street and 9th Avenue. And south.
And can you tell me a little bit about your life growing up?
Oh, not much to say.
How many brothers and sisters did you have?
I was the oldest. There were seven of us. My mother, she was a queen. She was a saint. Raised seven kids with a drunken husband. He was an alcoholic. Couldn't stop. He showed me. So I don't need a beer.
That must have been hard for you.
I had control. Well, yeah, he had his own way. He had his love for the booze. Nobody could stop him. So, it's life.
So when did you enlist in the military?
See, I was working at Lockheed, and I come home in, must have been 1950, pretty close. Maybe it was 52.
Now, what about your World War II experience?
Well, I served at the Naval Air Stations around the country, different ones, and ended up on Guam, the Naval Air Station there. And I was there when they dropped that big bomb on Hiroshima.
Okay.
They flew it out of Tinian, I think it was. You little rascal, what's your name? Anyway.
It's hard when you don't remember somebody's name.
Hey, I'm 98. Almost 90 years old.
You're doing well.
My memory hasn't been the best.
So did you enlist in the military for World War II, or were you drafted?
Well, I was just ahead of the draft board.
Okay, so what year was that?
It was, I think, probably 52.
Now, that would have been for the Korean War. Oh, so in 1942?
Wait a minute. Bill was born in 52, and I went in the Korean War in 1950.
Okay.
It was. See, after I got discharged, I was home here, and I went back to California to get my old job back at Lockheed, and you didn't have enough money at the end of the week for a beer. So that wasn't too well. I stayed there for a year, I guess it was. And I come back home. That's when I joined the Navy Reserve. And, Korean War. I went to Seattle. Got on to Port Hueneme, to Los Angeles. Got on the ship and went to Hawaii first, and from there to, well, we ended up in the Philippines.
So this would have been in 1952?
1950, I think it was.
1950?
Yeah.
And how long were you stationed in the Philippines?
Just about a year, I went. 51, I must have been there for about 2 years.
2 years?
53. See, Bill was born in 52, and I left there. He was born July 21st he was born, and I left the Philippines in February.
Of 1952.
Yeah.
And your son was born there in July of 1952. So when you were in the Korean War, were you stationed in the Philippines the whole time?
Yeah.
And what did you do in the Philippines?
Airplane repair.
Were you in the Air Force or in the Marines?
Aviation metalsmith.
Aviation metalsmith. And were you in the Air Force?
No. Navy Air.
In the Navy Air?
There's no connection between the Navy and the Air Force. Navy's got its own air fleet and everything.
So what did you do as a metalsmith, as an airplane metalsmith?
Oh, several things. We worked on B-24s. That was in the States. In Kansas, we had one where the mechanics took all four engines off of it, and they had the tail end propped up, and their support collapsed and went down and ruined the whole bottom of that airplane.
Now, where was this?
Hutchinson, Kansas.
Oh, okay. Now, this is before Korean War?
No, this is during World War. World War II.
You joined the Korean War. You re-enlisted in 1950?
No, I didn't re-enlist. They called me back.
In 1950?
Yeah.
And then you were there until 1952, February of 1952?
Yeah.
And tell me about your job as the, what did you call it?
Aviation metalsmith.
Okay, tell me about your job as aviation metalsmith.
They keep all the aircraft in repair, like the seaplanes they had in Manila there. When they landed, they'd shear off some rivets in the bottom and then start to leak. Well, they'd pull that airplane up on that beach and would replace the rivets.
Okay.
So, things like that. And, well, any plane that's damaged, we got a job.
And at any given time, how many airplanes did you have landed in Manila?
Oh, I don't know how many. We had a fleet of PBMs, it's a Mariner, a twin-engine flying boat. They were patrolling the China coast during the Korean War. That was our basic problem, I mean, the whole job we had. We had to keep flying.
And so were all these airplanes that coming off of carriers?
No?
No,
they were big airplanes. They landed on the water and took off in the water.
Okay. So. And how were the Filipinos to you? How well did they treat you as GIs?
Great. For the most part. Nice people.
And what was your most memorable experience in the Korean War?
It was pretty much mundane all the way through. I mean, it was routine. But we never had any combat experience. We weren't even close to it. Of course, by the time they were thinking about raiding or invading Japan, I would imagine we would have been on call. So, whatever.
So they were thinking about invading Japan in 1952, or?
Yeah. They were considering it. Didn't have to at the end. Was that the Hiroshima bomb kind of helped out?
Yep. Okay.
And the other one dropped it when it was at Kobe.
Nagasaki?
Nagasaki.
Okay.
Yeah, the second one.
So, in World War II, did you enlist right after Pearl Harbor? When did you enlist in World War II?
Well, when Pearl Harbor was hit, I was working at Lockheed Aircraft in Burbank,
okay.
California. And, I don't know, there was four of us, two from Grand Forks and two from Fargo. We used to buddy around together. And must have been 1950. Fellow from Grand Forks, he quit his job. He was working at Lockheed too, and come home and joined the Navy. August, probably. He was a month ahead of me. And then I quit mine about a month after he did.
So this would have been in 1941 after Pearl Harbor?
49. So, let's see, 41. I was working in Lockheed in 41.
Because Pearl Harbor was in 1941, December 1941. So were you drafted after Pearl Harbor?
No, never drafted.
You enlisted for World War II?
Yeah.
And when did you enlist?
I think it was 1950, I'm not sure.
And where did
you... No, wait a minute. That had to be earlier than that, 45 probably. But wait a minute. 45.
In 1942, probably.
No, somewhere around 40, 45, 46, somewhere in there, I think. Oh, I can't remember dates.
That's okay. So you enlisted in World War II, and where were you sent to Guam right away?
No, I, let's see, boot camp at Great Lakes. Got out of boot camp, I went to Aviation Medicine School in Chicago for 6 months. And from there we went to Akron, Ohio for couple months on training aircraft fuel cells. Those bulletproof fuel cells, they're rubber, and if they get hit by a bullet, the gasoline in there swells that rubber and seals it. But we had to know how to fix it, how to repair it afterwards. Take them out of the airplane and fix them. Which I don't think we ever did it, but we had to know how. But anyhow, Akron, Ohio, and then I was set out to Seattle, which is Seattle. Yeah, and then from there we were transferred to San Francisco, down to Los Angeles, ended up in San Diego, Naval Air Station San Diego. And I was there quite a while, over a year. Ended up on an airfield just out of San Diego. And it was, we had B-24s. They landed and took off there. And I got transferred to Kansas. So we had the choice to go by rail or fly in a B-24. Took the B-24 we were there. We were just in Kansas and one of our B-24s. And I was in Kansas over a year. Get shipped out. I think we ended up at Treasure Island in San Francisco Bay. And never went to Port Wayne Unit. That's what I got on that converted troop ship. It was an old tramp steamer or whatever it was, but it wasn't too well equipped. All we had to take a bath in was salt water, no salt water soap. Strange thing about it, the ship was manned by all Army personnel. And all the passengers were sailors and Marines. We went to, it took us about a week to get to Pearl Harbor. And then we got to get off the ship and go and take a bath and a few other things. And after that, we kept on going to. That's when I went to Guam.
Okay.
Went to Midway and then to Guam.
Where was the first place that you went to? To where? Where did you go to before Guam?
Well, that was just on the ship. We went to Hawaii and went by Midway, and we got off at Guam.
Okay.
I was at the Naval Air Station in Guam for a good year. A strange place. But we haven't had Japs in our chow line.
You had Japs in your chow line? Why was that?
Well, I don't know. They did, some of them were still some hiding in the jungles, and every once in a while we get one in chow line. Behave themselves, I suppose it's all right.
They were prisoners of war at that point, or no?
They were living on Guam. It's in the woods.
In the woods. And you allowed them to come to your chow line?
Well, it happened.
So now, were you a metalsmith, aviation metalsmith person in Guam?
Mm-hmm.
You were. And so you were in Guam for about a year.
Well, yeah, we had a lot of airplanes to work on. We had one, he was on the strafing in the island of Rota, just a couple miles off of Guam. And I guess he got down too low and he flew that darn thing through a tree. He managed to fly back to Guam and landed. And we ended up patching that one. The leading edge of the airplane, the wings was all holes and tree branches, like he was still flying. Yeah, we had a beach craft. It had made a rough landing and it ruined some of the bulkheads and the wings. And we were going to repair them. The radio officer said no. So, he let it fly. It wasn't long after that, it was down on the ground, one of the wings fell off of it. We could have fixed it.
Huh.
But, we got overruled on that one. The division officer had the power.
What was your division officer like?
There were too many of them.
Too many of them?
I don't know. I never had any contact with him, really. But it was day in, day out, fixing airplanes.
How many metalsmith, aviation metalsmith workers were there that worked with you?
Oh, boy. Our shop was, 10, I would suppose.
And when you said that Guam was a strange place, why did you say that?
Well, I don't know. It's different. The people in Guam, I don't know, they had a pretty good life before we got there. We improved their lights or not. A nice island. About 40 miles long, about 5 miles wide.
How did the people of Guam respond to the Allied troops there?
Well, there wasn't much they could do.
Were they friendly or?
Yeah. They were nice people. Some of them were in the service too. See, the Air Force had a landing field on one end of Guam where they flew those raids out of Japan. And ours was about in the middle of Guam, a Naval Air Station. And I think that's all it was. Just the two airfields. I would imagine that's a commercial airfield now. Pretty close to the city, their capital city, Ghana. Oh, God. I swam in the ocean.
You swam in the ocean?
Oh, yeah.
On your time off?
Yeah.
How warm was the water?
Oh, it was warm.
Was it?
Yeah. Well, it wasn't cold, but it was all right. You know, I swam around to the reefs. it's a colorful fish. And you could get them in your hand, but try to close your hand and they're gone. They were cute.
Was it a beautiful island?
Yeah, we had a beer garden there. I remember they had a trained monkey. They tease him. Make it bad and leave him alone. He bites too. I forgot to tell you about this fellow from Grand Forks. He died a few years ago in Grand Forks. I just got word of it. His name was Richard Lathrop Barnes. And, last I seen him, we both left Navy Pier there in Chicago. And I was on Liberty in Chicago. After I got out of Navy Pier, and I was downtown, standing in line waiting to go to a movie, who walks in front of me but Barnes, my buddy from California. Well, he was stationed at Navy Pier too. We had some pretty good liberties for a while, and we were both left there while they didn't see him again. Well, we rode back and forth. And finally, when I was on Guam there, I'd had a beer, and I was sitting on the table in a beer garden there. Who walks in front of me? The beer line, old Guam, or Barnes. And wouldn't you believe he was kind of a cut-up. And when he was in Hollywood, Florida, they had him on court-martial for several charges. One of the charges was pulling feathers out of live chickens. Of course, it'd be drunk and disorderly and in an restricted area and whatever else. But he got busted down, and when he was on Guam, he was, I think he was a seaman. I don't think he had been a petty officer. But he was, would you believe, he was on the steward on Admiral Nimitz's airplane.
He was.
Taken care of. Well, he was quite a guy.
Wow. Did he ever talk about his experience with Admiral Nimitz?
No. In fact, I got to ride in Admiral Nimitz's airplane once.
You did?
Yeah, they were going to go out for a test hop around the island there, and he invited me and I went along.
So what was he like?
I didn't meet Admiral.
You just got to fly in his airplane?
Just got to ride in the airplane. He used to haul booze back from the States, and I'd help him sell it, I guess, in Guam.
Admiral Nimitz?
No, Barnes.
Barnes.
So we'd peddle that booze he'd bring back. And it's a good old time there. I never seen him again. One of my golfing buddies here in town, he's from Grand Forks, and he knew him. He told me he passed away just recently.
Sorry.
Never got to see him. Would like to see him again. He was quite a character. Richard Lathrop Barnes. I can remember that, but I couldn't remember Jaden's name.
That's okay. You've been around the block a few times. So when you were in Guam, you were getting ready to invade Japan?
I don't think any of us were destined for that, but, well, maybe. We didn't know. Of course, you're in the service, you're on tap for anything they want to do. You never know. I had some commando training too, and out there in the West Coast. Wasn't too much. Rifles and whatever. see, my sister, Kay, she's 2 years younger than me. But when I come home from working at Lockheed, people I come home with were going to go back to California. The one of the guys I worked with. And I made arrangements with him to take her back to California. She wanted to go to California. And she had a friend from Fargo out there she wanted to live with. So her and Martha lived together at they had a home there in Los Angeles. I was stationed in San Diego. I used to go up there and visit once in a while.
This was, she moved out there before World War II or after World War II?
No, this was after. This was after Pearl Harbor.
Okay.
But she worked for a machine shop. But she's still around too. She's 87 now. My brother, it's just four doors over, it's 85.
He lives right down the street?
421.
Ah, okay.
It's a picture of his family up there. One end picture is inside there. That's his whole bunch.
Wow. Did he serve in World War II?
Yeah, he was on the ship. He was a gunner's mate. Imagine he shot a few guns, but we never got together on the service. We rode back and forth out of the way.
And where was he stationed, your brother?
He was on board ship.
On board ship? So when you were done with Guam, you came back in what year did you come back? 1945, right after the war was done in World War II?
No, Guam. It could have been 45.
Okay. And you went back to go work at Lockheed?
Well, no, I did too. Went back to work at Lockheed, and I came back home. And then I signed up with the Plumbers Union. I got into construction. I'm over 60 years in the Plumbers Union right now.
Wow. So you left Lockheed to go into plumbing?
Well, a pipe fitter.
Okay.
Don't call me a plumber, I'm a steam fitter.
A steam fitter?
Yeah.
So you were doing steam fitting at Lockheed or somewhere else?
No, this is all after the war.
After the war?
Something I picked up later.
Okay. So you were doing steam fitting for how many years?
Oh, 60 years, I guess. So I've been in the union, but 20 years of that was with Honeywell.
Okay.
And sell pneumatic temperature control systems in schools and office buildings and whatever, hospitals. What else? UA, the union gave me that watch when I retired.
That's a wonderful watch.
United Association, Plumbers and Steam Fitters.
That's a wonderful watch. 1889 is when it was founded. Wow, that's wonderful.
I think it's a Hamilton.
Yeah, it says Hamilton on there. So you were working as a steam fitter when you got called back up to go to Korean War.
Mm-hmm.
And then you were in the Philippines the whole time. Tell me about your experience in the Philippines. Were you doing also metal smithing in the Philippines?
Yeah, metal smithing. We went to, me and my wife, before we were married, we paid a visit at Tall Lake. It's not too far from Manila. It's a big lake on the island of Luzon. But in the middle of that lake is an extinct volcano,
mm-hmm.
an island.
Mm-hmm.
But that was quite a thing. I would imagine that'd start up again, too.
How did you meet your wife in the Philippines?
Oh, good question. I don't even remember. Drinking beer someplace, I suppose.
And so then you came back in February of 1952. You came back to the United States. And then your son was born in July in 1952.
Yeah, but I must have been born then. I come up. It wasn't that close. Because it took me a couple of years to earn enough money to go back and get married.
Okay. So you came...
Well, yeah, that's right, 52 you were born.
Okay.
And, I come home. And I went to work. It took me a couple of years.
Were you working at Honeywell?
No, not then.
Okay.
Construction.
All right. And so then you were saving up your money to go back and get Mary and your son.
I didn't even ask her to marry me.
You didn't ask her?
No, I didn't.
Why not?
It never entered my mind. We just went and got married. Well, did quite a gal. Her name was Sebastiana.
Sebastiana?
Her last name was Bentazan.
Bentazan?
And she's got a younger sister, Amarenciana. And an older sister, Obita, J-O-B-I-T-A, I think it is, something like that. Different names. And she had some brothers. Dad had died before I knew her. And when she was 16, I don't know what happened to somebody, I think a policeman, or she was living there, wanted to marry her or something. But anyway, she decided to leave home. She put together what little bit she had. Took a bus to, city there on Leyte, where she was, big city in Leyte. And she worked for somebody there and got enough money to make a passage to Manila. Her sister was working in Manila. So she took a job as a babysitter for a lawyer. Took care of his family. She was, what do you call them?
A nanny?
Yeah, a nanny, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And she worked for him for quite a while. And that was in Manila. And she ended up in Cavite, where I met her. She had relatives around there too. Base. We were living together for a while. Joey. Her birthday was February 15th, and I think I was on the ship headed for the States.
Were you?
At that date.
Did you correspond very often with each other?
Oh, yeah. Pretty regular. You get off that airplane and she came to meet me with Bill, and he was kind of shy at first. Finally, he came over and
gave you a big hug?
Put his arms around my leg, Daddy. And we went to a movie, a Tagalog movie, and they had a newsreel there where they showed airplane landing and stuff like that. He seen the airplane landing, he jumped up, Daddy, Daddy!
Aww.
Quite a guy. Yeah, Bill, he's, him and his mother were pretty close.
That's a great photo. So is there anything else about your World War II experience or your Korean War experience that you want to tell me?
Nothing worth writing about.
Okay.
It's all routine work, but and I'm thankful I didn't get shot. But
how did your military experience affect your outlook on life afterwards?
Not too bad. Didn't have much effect on me, I don't believe. Hard to change a Norwegian.
But you found your wife.
Yeah, I got my wife. Brought her over here. Well, I had to leave before she came, and for some reason, I think my visa, my time was up in the Philippines. I had to get out of there or start paying taxes. And I left her with a ticket and what money I had for her and Bill. And since she came when the ticket was due, when I was ready, and she flew to Los Angeles, and I went to Los Angeles when I had to come home. And what had happened? I had a 39 or 49 Pontiac, and I drove that to Los Angeles. I left my car with my sister there, and that's when I went to get married. And coming back, well, anyhow, she came with Bill, and once she got to Los Angeles, my sister met her and took care of her. Put her on a bus for Minneapolis or Fargo. And the strange thing, her and Billy on the bus, she kept hearing Minneapolis, Minneapolis. She thought she was going to come to a place of many apples. And once she got here, her and Billy were sitting in the bus depot when I got there.
In Fargo or Minneapolis? In Fargo?
Fargo. They were ready to keep on going. They didn't even know where they were. That there were no places we had one for. So anyhow, I got on the car, went to her house. My mother was still around. And she took care of her. And he adopted her right away.
So you had a lot of metalsmithing experience before you went into World War II.
Right.
That's why they chose you for that job?
Yeah.
Okay.
The job at Lockheed that involved airplanes, too. That's why they put me in the sheet metal.
Okay.
I was assigned there. I didn't ask for it. They put you where they think you can do the best. It worked out. Yeah, I was a welder. I ended up being a pipe welder. That's a pretty accurate job, too. I signed up as girl flying service. I got the GI Bill. Learned how to fly. A buddy of mine was, got out of school with was a flight instructor out there. And we had some time together.
This is after World War II?
Yeah. After I got back from California. Oh, yeah. I had to look up. I took off here and flew to Grand Forks alone. Took off and flew to Jamestown. And back to Fargo. On the way back to Fargo, I went south over Catherine. I wanted to take some pictures of Catherine. That was my dad's hometown. So, and I made it back to Fargo. That was a fun job. Airplane, a little airplane, and that airplane all alone. Get it all trimmed up to where it's flying straight and level. I sit there and jerk, you lean forward and the plane will go down.
Really?
Get back, come back up again.
Wow.
Real sensitive. So, yeah, it was quite a time. It was a lot of fun flying. But, you're going to keep up flying, you better have some money. So, either that or have a good job that pays for fun.
And was your flying experience, did you fly after World War II or after the Korean War?
This was after everything.
After the whole Korean War. Okay. All right.
So him and being a mess cook and Admiral Nimmin to the airplane, that was something. I can't believe it. I guess if you pull enough boners, you end up someplace worthwhile.
Yep.
Small world about that little modern one.
Yep.